In 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 16, and this morning we're calling this, and there may be several teachings on this, it's again as the Spirit leads us, but the teaching this morning is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we're moving on in this epistle, we very much see that it speaks about the second coming of the Lord. And as we've been looking at this, we've shown that Peter was reminding these early Christians of the faith, the message that they had received, the gospel. And this is how the Holy Spirit will work. In fact, this is one of the ways that you will witness the Holy Spirit's ministry and teaching, is that he will continue to bring up over and over again divine principles. He will not let us forget the teaching. He will not let us forget the principles that we have learned over the years of faith, the deeper life, the message of overcoming, trials, testings, faith, trusting God for everything. We have been taught this and are continue to be taught this over and over again. And these are clear signs of God's presence, ministry, anointed ministers set in the Church of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to show you why God does this. You see, doctrine, the understanding of doctrine, the teaching of doctrine has to be built upon. And it's not something that can be just said overnight. It's not a new idea. The doctrines that we have in the gospel are built upon and have stood and will continue to stand over every century, even though the powers of darkness try to oppose them, try to come against the Christian principles. Yet God has a remnant through every century who adheres to the Word of God and will listen to the Word of God and will assimilate it and go over and over and over it and be taught by the Spirit. But we find that the powers of darkness will try to oppose it, will try and change it, will try and poison it, and very subtly comes in and tries to deceive God's people, and if it were, the very elect. And this is what we're coming to. And Peter is very aware of this. And so a few weeks ago, we were reminded of what we had been taught. There wasn't a lot new in it, but he was reminding the early Christians. And we too are reminding you. And this morning again, we're going to remind you of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to hear this. We need to be reminded of this. We need to be comforted in this. We need to talk about this. We need to open up the scriptures. We need to discern the times, the seasons that we live in. And the reason that I mention this is because we're going to see that a lot of this has been forgotten. But the Holy Spirit will not let us forget this. He will ever remind us that his near coming is soon. These are some of the things that we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. And again, Peter defends the gospel with regard to the second coming of Christ. And all through history, Christians have been warned to watch and to pray. To watch and to pray, because this is essential. And again, we're going to look in Matthew 25. As we open this up, turn to Matthew 25. Indeed, Matthew 24 and 25 speaks about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, if you want to be reminded, if you want to go over that, you read those two chapters. And you'll see that in those two chapters, Jesus warns. He shows what will be of the last time. And he goes over and over this, repeating himself, what will be the last times and the signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know this parable very well in Matthew 25 and verses 1 to 13. And I want to read this again to you, because it speaks about watching and praying, and it speaks about five wise and five foolish virgins, and both slumber and sleep. And that is the warning. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterward the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." So there is the emphasis, the reason that we are to watch, and watching means to pray, and praying means to watch. We do that simply because the wisdom behind this parable is that he's going to come in an hour, in a day, in a moment when we least expect. And because he's going to come in that way, something within us says, "I need to prepare for this." Something within us says, "If I don't prepare and do what God tells me, I'm going to be left behind." And the reason I'm going to be left behind is because he comes in a day, in an hour, in which we do not know. And there is the wisdom behind that parable. That is the wisdom, the warning to the second coming, to the rapture, in other words. Because we don't know, in that sense. We can discern the times. We can look to the parable of the fig tree, and there are clear signs and clear warnings, but we don't actually know the day and the hour or even the month when he's going to come. Therefore, because I don't know, I have to do something about it. And to do something about it, I need to watch and pray. And if I am prepared to watch and pray, that is, that I allow the Spirit to work that within me, because you are not going to do it in yourself. It's not a good idea. It's not something, oh, well, yes, I've heard what the pastor has said. Well, I better go and do something about it. Yes, that is part of it. But we must know that the Holy Spirit is working in you and me, causing me to watch and to pray, to make me watchful, to make me alert, to make me discerning and seeing. Do I know that in my life? Is that happening? Is that my experience? And the reason that I'm bringing that up is because we're sleeping. Oh, you may say, I'm not sleeping, but we are. And this sleeping is because of the season and the time that we find ourselves in. The reason being is because the Lord is delaying his coming. And so if he delays his coming, we are in a time of slumbering and sleeping. And we can't change those conditions. I can't change them. That is what we find ourselves in. Because for some reason, in his infinite mind and wisdom and understanding and knowledge, he's delayed his coming for a season. Therefore, we are slumbering and we are sleeping. And that is what we need to understand in this. And it's no good you trying to say, ah, but the Lord won't catch me out on that. I'm not sleeping. I'm not slumbering. I'm watching. I'm praying. I come along to all the meetings. I go to all the prayer meetings and so forth. It's a little bit more than that. As the parable tells us. It says, now five of them were wise and five were foolish. Well, at that point, the 10 virgins are not known. We don't know who is wise and who is foolish. We believe and trust in the mercy of God that we are those wise virgins. But the wise took oil. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. So there are the foolish virgins. They have lamps. Both the 10 virgins have lamps. So what is the problem? What is the discernment? Where do we see the difference? Well, it says that they have lamps, the 10 have lamps, but the foolish took no oil with them. Now, I'm not going to go too much into detail in this because we've had many teachings about this, but the oil speaks the oil of anointing. The Holy Spirit, his work, his ministry. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, something about the wise, they were wise because they were aware that lamps need oil. You need light. And so they were wise in the sense because they took a vessel with them. They knew that the oil in their lamp would not be enough. Now, I'm not saying at this point that they deliberately did this, but something within them, spiritually, was aware of human frailty, was aware of themselves, and left to themselves, they would not overcome. So these wise virgins humble themselves before God. And in that humility, bowing the knee, they see themselves what they are. And because they see their human frailty, their rebellion, hard hearts, unbelief, they cry out to God for grace, for mercy, for help. And it's in that abasement that they are obtaining and getting that extra oil for their vessels. In other words, they are not doing it in their own strength. Something within them sees, I need all the oil I can get Because the days that we live in are very evil. There are temptations everywhere. And there are times I fall flat on my face. I need all the grace and mercy of God to help me through. They are the wise virgins. The wisdom is that they acknowledge their weakness. That is ultimately a wise man or woman who walks with God. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and they slept. Now there's a reason I've said earlier why the bridegroom slumbers, why he delays, I should say. Why is he delaying his coming? Well, there's nothing new about the delays of God, is there? I think most of us who've walked 10 years, 20 years with God, if not longer, and I certainly have, I am learning that God very often delays a work, a manifestation, a blessing, whatever he's going to do, he delays. And there is a good reason why he delays. Because it's in delays he can work a deliverance in you. It is in delays that he can work in that heart. Because the delays expose the unbelief, the hardness of heart, the wrong attitudes, the motives, and so forth. How many times have you raised your hands, I give up. I can't hang on any longer. God hasn't heard me. He's not answered my prayer. And he's allowed that to happen to show you that he's the only one that can sustain and keep you and bless you. And so I suggest to you that the bridegroom delays for that very purpose. He delays so that the wise can have that time to get their hearts and lives ready, to get that extra oil in their vessels to be ready for when the bridegroom comes. I suggest to you that is one of the main reasons why he delays. Now that doesn't stop us in crying out and saying, come Lord Jesus, come quickly, because that's good and healthy. And the church should do that. And indeed should desire that. But nevertheless, the bridegroom delays. And so in that delay, like human nature is, they all slumbered and slept. I want to make that very clear, that the both wise and the foolish slumber and sleep. And that slumbering and that sleeping is the same for both. Sleep is sleep. Slumbering is slumbering. Whatever your status, whatever your background, your colour, creed, education, that applies for all. And it says then in verse 6, and at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Now note in verse 7, it says, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. So it wasn't just heard by the five wise, but it was heard up to this point by the ten. So up to this point, the voice going forth, the bridegroom's coming, all up until this point, spiritually speaking, there are virgins together, fellowshipping together, mixing together, praying together in that sense. They're all together, going through all the right actions, respond, hear the voice of the bridegroom. But then something at that point happens. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. So something at that point, spiritually speaking, they begin to see that something's happening. They have enough spiritual discernment and awareness that I haven't actually got enough oil. Now, why have they not got enough oil? What is actually happening at this point? I've already said to you at the beginning that the oil speaks of anointing, the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Can I suggest to you that at that point there is an outpouring of the Spirit? There is an awareness now that the Lord Jesus is coming soon. We are now beginning to see what this oil of anointing, this extra vessel that we have, is all about. But the foolish virgins who are, to a certain extent, involved with this, experiencing this, have begun to realize that it's running out. They can't match the wise virgins. The wise virgins are going forth in the anointing and power of the Spirit, and there is a division, there is a dividing line that's now taking place. God separates. God has separated you out of nominal Christianity, out of denominationalism. May I suggest that that was the first separation in your life? Set apart to be empowered by the Spirit, to be taught by the Spirit. And there's going to come another separation when the bridegroom goes forth. And that separation will reveal that you have paid the price, you have been obedient to God, you have looked ridiculous, you have looked an outcast, you have looked pathetic, weak, hopeless. But all through that, God was preparing for that extra vessel of oil. Amen? That is the reason. That is why you find yourself in the situation that you are. Can you not take comfort in that? Because that is what the Spirit is doing. But there's going to come an hour when this all starts to be seen, that you have that extra vessel of oil, and you are able to stand, you are able to go forward, and you are able to meet with the bridegroom and go up for the rapture. But the wise answer saying no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. So the wise are able to answer the foolish with wisdom and say, look, we can't give out what we have. We work out our own salvation in fear and trembling, but I can tell you where you can get it from. I can tell you where I got it from. It's the school of trial, testing. There's wisdom coming out of the wise virgins. They've learned enough wisdom not to give away what is so precious. And that is why you don't give this away, friends. This is why you do not give this away. You don't sell this. You hold on to this. You work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. You can't share this. You can tell others where to get it from, but you cannot give away what God is doing with you, in you and through you. Now, you may appear very selfish. You may appear very unloving. But that is the wisdom and mind of God. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. So your extra vessel of oil that you believe for, press in for, bow the knee for, is going to bring at the end of it a great celebration, a wedding feast. And my, what that is going to be. That is going to be indescribable. You cannot begin to even put into words what this great event is going to be. For the church has looked to this great event through its centuries since the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that is why I emphasize this is the test of it, to watch and to pray, because that is the key thing with the wise virgins. Now, going back to Peter, Second Peter chapter 1, verse 16. So he says here, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." So at this point, Peter defends the gospel. He defends his teaching. He not only defends his own teaching, what he's writing here, but he defends the apostles' teaching. He would have heard others teaching as well. John, Luke, Matthew, Paul himself. He's defending the revelation of the gospel. And in that revelation was the good news that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming back, the second advent. And that was good news for them. And he says he's made known to them about the Lord's coming. And he says we have to keep with this because the church has forgotten. We have to keep with this because the church has forgotten the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I've said this before, but very seldom now do you hear teaching about the coming of Christ. You don't hear it much today. All you hear about now is revival. All you hear about now is the church is going to establish the kingdom of earth upon the earth. The kingdom of heaven, I should say, upon the earth. And that is the deception. That is what is called as these cunningly devised fables, which he warns. And I suggest to you that the pride of much of the church today, the Laodicean church today, believes she can establish the kingdom of God on earth. And she's blinded to this. And that is why I believe there's such an emphasis about evangelism, but they've got it all wrong. They've got it all wrong. Because it is motivated by pride. It's motivated by man building his own empire. You come under my church, my identification, under man, under our eldership. And they are not bringing God's people under the headship of Jesus Christ, which is the message of the kingdom of God. They don't have that message. They don't have the revelation of the teaching of the kingdom of God. If they did, then you would be hearing about the second coming of Christ. And there would be in that teaching a preparation, a warning, a way to prepare, you see. And very so often it's not there because they have forgotten. And that's why I spend a lot of time about us not forgetting. Peter says, don't forget these things. And this is why we go over it again. And we've gone over it again and we brought it up again this morning. And I've been very aware of bringing it up again that God has given further light on what we need to hear. We've not heard some of these things before. Are you aware of it? Have some of you picked it up? I have. You see, if you're praying and watching, you're hearing what the Spirit is saying. And you're not saying to yourself, oh, I've heard all this before. We had this about a year ago. I've got tapes on this. It's not, you see, you're not hearing properly. And if you're not hearing, you're not watching. And there's the warning. And so God warns, and he says, you can get out of that slumber. You can get out of that state from being a foolish virgin and becoming a wise virgin. You see? It's up to us. It's what we want. It's what we want. You see, the early church lived with persecution. And the second coming, the second advent, was a message that was welcome. But it's not so welcome to us today. Particularly in the West. We have all our cars. We have our health system. We have our welfare. We are provided for. We have food on our tables. We live in comparative comfort and peace. What do you want to talk about the second advent? Well, after all, we know all about that. But if we're suffering and going through trials and tests and having to believe to pay our bills, to put a meal on the table, it starts to make this message completely different. What it starts to do, it starts to become good news. It's good news because Jesus is coming for you and he's going to deliver you from all of that. One day he says, that's going to be enough for you. And I'm going to take you home, and there you're not going to think any more about that. There'll be no tears. There'll be no sorrow, disappointments. I will remove all of that. And that is why Peter again, under these Christians that are persecuted, they receive the teaching of the second coming. And he says, comfort. John says, doesn't he, about comfort one another. Talk to one another. Let it be your conversation that the Lord Jesus is coming soon and he's going to collect his bride. That is good news. And that is why you're going through your trials, your tests and everything, because God uses that to make you desperate for his coming. Amen. That is another reason. That is another reason. It was a welcoming news to them. But I do not believe it's a welcoming news to the Laodicean church. She's blinded to it. And God is trying to get her to buy eye cell, to have her eyes open to this. I've already spoken a little bit about the delay of the coming of our Lord. And I've said to you that the delay is because it exposes. But delays have also exposed over the centuries. And so as the Lord, the second coming, is delayed from the first century of the church right up now to the 21st century, through all those years, those hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of delay, God has used that to expose, to judge, to preserve his remnant. So that is another reason why God delays his coming. But it is also delayed because it was not the right time for the fig tree, Israel. Israel is now a nation after almost 2,000 years. She's restored. Being restored. They are going back, ready to receive Messiah. They are also going back, being led by the Spirit, in also to be judged, to be purged. And so we look at that, and they are warnings. They tell us something. They reveal to us that fruit is ripening on the fig tree. And so as we listen, we listen to the Spirit, we listen to the fivefold ministry, as we are being worked upon, coming into perfection, unity, oneness. These are all clear signs now that the Lord Jesus Christ, his coming is very imminent and is not far away. You say to me, but how do I know that? You will know that because the Spirit will keep reminding you of it. That is why we bring it up again today. This is why I haven't brought this up. The Spirit has brought this up. It is a reminder so that we don't forget he is very near. And we will be reminded more and more. Now we can decide to say, oh, we keep hearing this, but when? Well, you must hear what the Spirit is saying. That is the point to this. And so he's going to remind us. Because he's been exposing through these delays. Indeed, he's been doing it in your life and my life. The delays have exposed things in this church. for a specific reason. You see, I've learnt one thing, that God delays before blessing. And there is coming one huge blessing in this delay. It is going to be so great that you won't be able to contain it. It is going to be a blessing beyond comprehension, this blessing that's coming. And that is why he's delaying and delaying right to the utmost, simply to reveal and outpour the greatest blessing that the church will ever encounter. That is why. That is why. For his glory, for his name. But I believe this delay is also to separate the wheat from the tares. And that is another reason, in fact, one of the main reasons, in order to do it. Because for God to bless, he cannot pour out that blessing upon tares. The tares have to be removed, separated. So that tells us why there is this delay. See, God doesn't keep us in the dark. There are specific reasons for these delays, for his coming. But I do truly believe in my heart and spirit, and as I prepared this, again, the quickening, he is near, at the door. At the door. And that is why we need to hear this morning. Now, Peter says here, we don't follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he says to you, we don't listen to those who change the second advent, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't listen to those who say that the coming of the Lord came spiritually at Pentecost. Some adhere to that. That was his coming. We don't listen to those who try to make dates when the Lord is going to come. And many have made dates and they've come and they've gone. Including Christian scientists. They failed on that one. And other cults have done it. We don't do that. Avoid anybody who comes with lists. And so God again delays his coming because he knows these things are going to happen. We don't listen to those who try to add to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he's not going to actually come visibly, but he's going to come spiritually. He's going to come through the church that is left on the earth. He's going to come through us. He'll come through us as we overcome, as we stand. In a sense that the Lord will be seen as a light through the church. Now that one is a bigger one than we realize. Charismatics are caught up in that one. It's called manifested son teaching. And I believe that that is our biggest one we have. That is cunning. It's built upon fables, ideas, and it's subtle. We avoid all of that. We avoid it all because the Bible clearly says that Jesus is going to come visibly and he will stand upon the Mount of Olives and it will cleave in two and he will come with his saints. I believe that. That's a simple, that a child can understand that, but you've got some who are blinded to that, who will try and change it. Why do they try and change it? Because they said, oh, we've heard it all before. Where is he? Where is he coming? You keep on about this, see? And that's what God is exposing. Many think the church has failed with regards to its teaching about the second coming. They taught about this for centuries, And we've had mockers and people mock. Oh, we've heard all of this before. I've been mocked when I talked about the second coming. Oh, come on, get real. That's been going on for centuries about the second coming of the Lord. There's your mockers. And what does it look like? It looks as though the church has failed. It's pathetic. The gospel is out of date. It's all failed. We look as though we've failed. Just a handful of us, just coming week after week. Looks as though the whole thing's bad. And here you are, Pastor, talking about the second coming of Christ and a blessing and so forth. Come on, get real. Stop deceiving these people. Well, that's what the mockers out there will think. But we have the Word of God. We have the promises. We have the Spirit that witnesses this to us. And we need to be reminded of the second coming, because it absolutely deals with this. And another thought about this, to discuss this, to bring this up, it deals with Satan. It deals with evil, unbelief, the powers of darkness, demonic forces. It tells the world of judgment, and that judgment is coming upon the world. So the very fact we talk about this, the very fact that we raise this up, we're talking of the second coming of Christ, is dealing with judgment. That the world needs to get ready. It's going to be judged. That's another reason why. We deal with this because it speaks about Israel and God's chosen people. A remnant that he's restoring in the last days. It tells us that Jesus is coming with his government to set his government upon the earth and to put down all rebellion. It shows us that what is impossible with man is possible with God, and that we walk by faith. It shows us that you're going to battle with unbelief, doubts, everything. The Word of God doesn't hide away from that. The Word of God tells you you're going to battle with these things. But to talk about this, to talk about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, exposes, deals, expels any of that doubt, fear that you might have had, you see. We keep with this doctrine because it tells us we shall be kept safe until the end. And that God is going to come for us and take us home. That's why we stay with it. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning. We bless you, Lord, that you love us so much. We'll never know how much you love us. But as we learn more, as we work with you more, so more will be revealed. We are so secure in the palm of your hand. You're not going to let anything touch us. You're not going to let anything deceive us, draw us away. What an anchoring in our life and soul and being we have. And whatever we go through, whatever the devil is suggesting, whatever the outlook, it's only going to be for a season. And you've said it's going to pass. And Father, whatever area of unbelief, doubt that we may have, you've overcome that you can deal with it. As we wait upon you and we look to you another and none other. And so Lord, we take comfort this morning in this teaching. We thank you, Father, that you've been with us today. You've blessed this meeting. You've manifested yourself to us. And I pray, Lord, that you will continue to preserve and keep us, to be with us when we go out and when we come in. Whoever we meet, wherever we go, you ever give your angels charge over us. And so, Lord, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name. Amen. And if you shut up the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God.
everyone.